I'm our Jumbo Market Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from our studio in the San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 20th of March, 2014. First and foremost, happy Nowruz to all of our many dedicated listeners in and from Iran. Today is the vernal equinox. On this date, in 235, Maximus Thrax, real name, is proclaimed emperor, Roman emperor. He is the first foreigner to hold the Roman throne. His mother was Ossetian. 1602, the Dutch East India Company is established. In 1778, after recognizing the U.S. a month earlier, King Louis XVI receives Ambassador Ben Franklin, who ends up getting a bunch of very decisive cash from the French crown. 11 years later, the peasants, using the example of the American Revolution, storm the Bastille. 4 years after that, his head gets chopped off. So there you go. 1852, Uncle Tom's Cabin is published. 1854, the Republican Party is founded in Ripon, Wisconsin. Former members of the Whig Party meet to set up the new party to oppose the spread of slavery into the Western territories. 1888, the premiere of the very first Romani language operetta is staged in Moscow. 1915, just 2 days after the Turks beat the British Navy in the Dardanelles, the British and Russian government sign a secret agreement dividing up the spoils of what they assume will be the end of the Ottoman Empire, not anticipating the Bolsheviks and the Young Turks and the total irrelevance of that agreement. 1916, Albert Einstein publishes his general theory of relativity. 1956, Tunisia gains independence from France. 1965, LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, sends federal troops to Alabama to protect those marching with Martin Luther King when segregationist governor and nutcase George Wallace refused to use state troops. This bold move was a turning point. The Voting Rights Act is passed 5 months later. 1995, Tokyo subways are attacked with sarin gas. Birthdays today are writers Ovid, Henrik Ibsen, and Otar Chiladze, actors Carl Reiner, William Hurt, and Holly Hunter, directors Spike Lee and Temar Babluani, as well as Fritz Flumer, to whom we owe a great debt. He invented the use of magnetic tape for sound recording. And today, Willie Brown, the former mayor of San Francisco and the guy who still really runs the place, turns 80 years old. Another little factoid about his honor, he's originally from Mineola, Texas. Today is International Storytelling Day. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen, telling you stories. Thanks again for those for posting on our forum, particularly from Freedom Studio, who said nice things about us. By the way, you don't have to ask questions or make corrections or snarky comments. Compliments are totally fine. Go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. On the 20th of March, someone uploaded a YouTube video with photos titled Saakashvili Killed Mr. Zurabzhvania. The video uploaded under the username Hakim Pasha allegedly shows the injured bodies of the ex-prime minister Zurabzhvania and Raul Usupov, former deputy governor of Kvamokartli. It's not clear whether the footage is authentic. It looks like those two people, but then shows these red circles alleging points of injury, and it's not really clear if they are. Goglezhvania, the brother of Zura, said that he had seen the pictures before and that unfortunately they're real. According to UNM Member of Parliament Gia Baramidze, the government faces political difficulties and the photos were released to distract attention from the government's failings. Prison Minister Sosar Subadi said he can't comment on the authenticity of the photos. He's waiting for the results of an investigation. On the 14th of March, Georgi Margvelashvili used the president's residence for the first time to receive 7 ambassadors from Australia, Ireland, Malta, Oman, the Philippines, Serbia, and Turkmenistan. The president commented that he plans to use the residence for various meetings and events, but doesn't mean to move into it or use it as offices. As a reminder, until now, he refused to enter the building because, in his view, Misha constructed it for his own pleasure and the country can't afford such a luxury. On the 18th of March, Imedi TV interviewed Bidzina, and the former prime minister expressed his disapproval of Margvelashvili. BI said he is surprised and disappointed in Margvelashvili, in part because of the latter's decision to use the Avlabadi residence for work, and documented that he was and recommended that he resign. BI criticized him for this decision and added that Margvelashvili previously said the building was a symbol of violence and filth. BI also complained about Margvelashvili's foreign policy advisor, Vano Machavadiani. According to BI, Machavadiani joined his team just to make UNM angry and to try and pressure UNM into giving him a good job in exchange for not being a part of the Georgian dream. which is ridiculous. Ivana Machavadiani is a very old and very close friend of Mark Gurlashvili's, who was the ambassador to Japan, and is an all-around very smart guy. He is the brother of UNM Member of Parliament, Misha Machavadiani, who is one of the better, by far, members of the UNM, and had been very close to work very close with Svanja. The rumor, and was really effective in Parliament, by the way, as a deputy speaker. In my view, a much superior speaker than Dato Bakaradze was when he was serving, when Bakaradze was traveling. The rumor is that BI told Mark Gurlashvili to fire Bono, and that Mark Gurlashvili refused, hence the annoyance. In the same interview, BI praised Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili and positively assessed his choice for Tbilisi Mayor, Minister of Infrastructure Dato Narmania. As for other ministers in the government, he said the Culture Minister Guram Odeshadia was definitely not among the best. According to BI, Odeshadia lacks not only experience, but also determination to pursue his principles as well as the ability to make snap decisions. When asked about the crisis in Crimea and possible solutions for Ukraine, BI said Russia would not step back and Georgia had to stand alongside its Ukrainian friends. BI also talked about the 17th of May rally and noted that the current government protected the LGBT community from violence while they were beaten up under the previous government. Eden Toba responded to BI's statement with a letter accusing him of spreading false information. On the 19th of March, Mark Gurlashvili held a press conference in the Avlavati residence, in which he said he does not plan to comment on BI's statement. According to the president, BI's attitude towards him is very important to him, and it was a painful critique to hear. Georgians can now go to Israel as tourists, visa-free for up to 90 days during a six-month period. A return ticket and valid passport is required. The travelers may be required to provide information about health insurance, hotel reservations, and evidence of financial sources enough to stay in Israel. The Georgian Ministry of Foreign Affairs noted that visa-free entry permission does not include the right to work in Israel. The European Commission proposed the Council of the European Union make the association agreement with Georgia partially effective before it's signed. According to the proposal of the European Commission, the interim activation will concern the paragraphs on free and comprehensive trade. Other paragraphs about sectoral cooperation and several other portions of the agreement will wait for several months. On the 17th of March, prosecutors questioned Kacha Bendukidze, former Minister of Economy and the current chairman of the Agricultural and Free Universities, related to the privatization of the Agricultural University 3 years ago. The prosecutor's office was also summoned Dima Shashkin, who was then Education Minister. They claimed that Agri University was privatized far below market value. In 2011, an entity founded by Bendukidze took over the management of the university and then bought it for $5 million on the condition that it keep the institution's educational profile for at least 8 years and invest at least 8 million lari. Since then, Bendukidze has invested over 11 million lari. Bendukidze says he left the prosecutor's office after 11 hours. This is complete BS. Okay, Bendukidze, that university was a complete disaster. It was very low status. Nobody really wanted to go there. It was a place to go when you essentially to get, as they're called in America, MRS degrees. Particularly young women would go there to say they were in university and wait around so that they could marry somebody and say that they went to university. It really is frustrating that they're putting him through this because he's done so much for education with his own money. And why they're targeting him is not particularly clear, but it's completely politically motivated. The prosecutor's office charged former head of SODI at Ekle Kodua with abuse of power and fraud. According to the charges in 2008, Kodua offered Merab Robachidze, a prisoner who was arrested for illegally purchasing and possessing drugs, a plea bargain agreement. In exchange, Robachidze had to buy two cars and give them as a gift to the government. Later, Kodua registered the cars in his son's and mother's name. Kodua faces up to 9 years in prison. And I suspect that this happened a lot because the whole thing was so untransparent. Who plea bargained what for how much is not really clear. The amount of money spent on the prisons and on plea bargaining was exactly the same, about 110 million lari a year, as I remember. But it was not broken down individually, so nobody knows how much each individual paid. And I would not be surprised if there was lots of sort of coercive corruption of this sort in individual cases of plea bargaining. In the 14th, because they could just do whatever they wanted to, I mean, since they had complete control of the courts, that happened a great deal. On the 14th of March, Tbilisi City Court found the former director of Kudi, Data Akhalaya, guilty of abuse of power in connection with a special operation carried out near Navluji Market. The court sentenced him to 3 years and 9 months in prison. The prosecutor's office also detained former Kudi officials Levan Kardava, who's the brother of Megis Kardava, former employee of the Minister of Internal Affairs, and Kudi employee Georgi Mazmarishvili for murder, abuse of power, and falsification of evidence in the same case. As a reminder, on the 12th of January 2006, Kudi carried out a special operation near Navluji Market. During this operation, three men were killed. Campaigners of "This Affects You Too," They Still Listen to Us, ask people to switch off their mobile phones for 1 hour every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. to protest illegal wiretapping until Parliament adopts a legislative package to end these practices. This Affects You is a Soros-organized consortium of NGOs. The campaign, which is made up of most of the top NGOs in Georgia, states that the current practice should be changed and legislative standards should be improved. So everybody, be sure to turn off your phones during this time from 1 to 2 p.m. on Friday. Also, if you try to call any big shots during this time and their phones are off or on, send us an email and we'll let people know who is and isn't supporting the effort. Can we do that? Sure, why not? The chairperson of the Defense and Security Committee of the Parliament, Irakli Sesiashvili, published a list of former government officials who left and returned to the country during the August war between the 7th and 14th of August 2008. The former chairman of Parliament, Dato Bakradze, returned to the country on the 8th of August. Giga Bokeri returned on the 9th of August. The date of his departure is not indicated. Nino Kalandadze entered the country on the 10th of August. Dato Bejashvili left the country on the 7th of August and returned on the 11th of August. On the 15th of August, he left through the Red Bridge, the bridge between Azerbaijan and Georgia. Alexandre Ketaguri left the country on the 8th of August through Red Bridge. The entry date is not known. Koba Subeliani returned on the 10th of August. Nikusha Rudua entered the country on the 10th of August through the Red Bridge. The implication is that they were all cowards, and you know, I don't know that there was all some, you know, weird movement going on. I can't comment on that, but I do know that many, many people were traveling internationally at that time, and the airports were closed, and they were trying to get back as quickly as they could, which was not easy at that time. On the 15th of March, Giorgi Targamadze, the leader of the Christian Democratic Movement, left the party. Targamadze, a former TV journalist and button polisher of Aslan Abashidze, said that he made the decision after the presidential election. He said he is considering working with local or international NGOs in the field of media and communication. On the 19th of March, the Christian Democratic Party joined Nino Bourgenadze's Democratic Movement. There's quite a marriage. UNM named Mamuka Chikovani as its candidate to run in the Rustavi mayor's race and local election scheduled for the 15th of June. Chikovani, ex-deputy governor of the Kvemo-Kartli region and ex-mayor of Rustavi, was UNM's majoritarian member of parliament in Rustavi during the 2012 parliamentary elections, but lost to Zvia Dzidzikudi from Georgian Dream. According to Opsni Press, UN permanent coordinator Georgia Neil Scott, during his visit to Suchumi, said the UN will give $15 million to Abkhazia to implement projects in 2004. Neil Scott met with the de facto president, Alexander Ankvab. Reconciliation Minister Pata Zakharishvili said that UN involvement in implementation of projects in Abkhazia is acceptable and okay. Foreign Ministry of Georgia does not recognize the referendum held in Crimea on the 16th of March. Armenia, Mongolia, and Kazakhstan recognized the referendum, as did Abkhazia and South Ossetia, of course. On the 16th of March, supporters and opponents of the referendum clashed in Tbilisi. One group, called Eurasian Choice, tried to hold a demonstration in front of the old Russian embassy and held up banners which read, "Crimea is Russia." However, another group, the pro-Misha Free Zone, pushed them away. Police had to separate the two crowds, and the two Free Zone activists were detained, one of them for tearing apart a banner belonging to the pro-Russian group. They were later released. On the 13th of March, Irakli Kharibashvili met with TSU students and answered questions. One student asked whether a good philosopher who has no education in the medical field can be a good doctor, and added, quote, "I'm asking this question because I see a footballer as an energy minister. I see that the interior ministry is not a lawyer and a prosecutor general who is convicted of a crime. I have a feeling that education has lost its sense," end quote. Prime Minister answered her that the ministers are working effectively. At the meeting, another student noted that ministers ministries were full of incompetent people. Kharibashvili told him that the incompetent staff will be replaced, and he's looking for qualified personnel, which are hard to find. The company RMG Gold will resume work in Sakhmidisi. Chairman of the National Agency for Cultural Heritage, Nika Antidze, said that the existence of the oldest gold mine in Sakhmidisi is not confirmed and the government will allow the investor to continue working on the site. Students protested the government's decision in front of the ministry by calling them sellouts. They put 30 eggs outside the entrance to the ministry, a reference to the 30 pieces of silver for which Judas sold out Jesus. An MP from Armenia's ruling Republican Party, Shari Tarosyan, warned Georgia that if they join NATO, then there is a possibility that Armenians in Samsko Javakheti will revolt. His concern is that Turkish troops will be stationed in Georgia due to a potential Moscow-Tbilisi conflict. Tarosyan said this will lead to the self-defense reflex of the Armenians. Yeah. BI's NGO Mokalike made a statement offering to train the journalists of all media outlets. In the statement, Mokalike asked editors to share with them which fields of training are most important and how many journalists they want to be trained. Specific dates and topics for the training have not been determined yet. I'm sure they're going to have to offer a lot of per diems, fancy restaurants, trips to abroad to make that happen, but we'll see. The partnership fund will invest $2.3 million in a local construction company, Industrial Construction Engineering Solutions, in order to support the development of local manufacturing. The project aims at producing sandwich panels, two thin aluminum sheets bonded to a non-aluminum core, which are necessary in signage, cladding exteriors, and insulation. The first product will be available in the Georgian market within 10 months. The plant is expected to produce 2.8 million square meter panels annually, 45% of which will be for export. The average monthly salary in the fourth quarter of 2013 increased 9% compared to the previous quarter. The average is now 900 lari, which I find hard to believe, but that's what we're told. The highest average salary, 3,000 lari, was in the water facilities construction field, followed by the pipeline transport sector with 2,900 lari. The average wages in the real estate trading sector amount to 2,500 lari. Bartenders have the lowest salary, which is 170 lari. The average salary in the public sector was 900 lari. Salaries in foreign companies are high, with an average of 1,300 lari. A large number of dead fish were discovered on the shores of Kumisi Lake, about 20 kilometers south of Tbilisi. The National Food Agency claims the fish died due to a lack of oxygen in the water, which is the most common cause of mass fish death. Representatives of the agency assured the public that the dead fish won't make it to shops and markets, but it is possible that the local population might try to sell the dead fish. So watch out for dead fish. About 100 Orthodox Christians demonstrated in the city of Khobi against Jehovah's Witnesses constructing a congregation center in town. Residents also protested against Jehovah's Witnesses preaching in Megrelian language, which they claim is stoking separatism in Georgia. Protesters demanded that the government forbid the construction process. Great Britain's Visa Application Center has changed its address in Tbilisi. The new address of the VAC is Besiki Business Center, at number 4 Besiki Street, first floor. From the 18th of March 2014, there will be a charge of £59 to use the center, which is a lot. This will be in addition to the visa fee and will cover the cost of the new facilities. The National Ballet Sukhashvili canceled their tour in Russia. The official Facebook page says that they canceled 22 concerts in total to maintain the dignity of the country. A film by Georgian director Levon Kolkhoashvili, Blind Date, won top honors and 10,000 euros at the Sofia International Film Festival. Earlier, the movie won the Special Jury Award and $50,000 at the Abu Dhabi Film Festival in 2013. The movie is about a lonely 40-year-old schoolteacher who takes up with the wife of a soon-to-be-released convict. The Intercontinental Hotels Group announced that it will open a hotel in Tbilisi in 2016. The 200-room location will operate under a management agreement with the existing owner-partner Ajada Group. It will be located on Kostava Street near Philharmonia in that big place that Temur Ugulava owns, that used to be the big sort of printing house. In parliamentary news, the prosecutor's office asked Parliament for its consent to start criminal prosecutions against UNM Member of Parliament Roland Achalaya, father of Datta and Bacho. They want to charge Roland with abuse of power. In 2009, he allegedly took 210,000 lari in exchange for plea bargains. For those who don't know, he was a prosecutor general of São Magrelo, much hated. The UNM was telling themselves because Misha brought the Magrelians back into the political process with the Rose Revolution, when they'd sort of been turned off by Shevardnadze, considering the Tbilisi War and Gamsakhuria, that therefore that São Magrelo was a UNM stronghold. This was not my impression. I think Cudi ran the place, and Roland Achalaya was much feared and hated, and the UNM was in denial about it. Anyway, after the prosecution was announced, Parliamentary Speaker Datta Usupashvili said that convicting the conflicting provisions of legislation make it impossible for the Parliament to take any action in response to the prosecutor's request, since Achalaya is a member of Parliament. While the Code of Criminal Procedures obliges the prosecutor's office to ask for Parliament's permission to bring criminal charges against an MP, legislation does not provide for procedures as to how the Parliament can do that. Usupashvili said that this absurd situation was caused by amendments that the former government introduced into the Code of Criminal Procedures in 2010. Now legislative amendments are needed in order to address the issue. In Fidis Azrevi this week, the 15th of March, Ninia Kakabadze, who is very, very smart, talked about secret audio and video recordings. According to her, UNM used secret audio recordings to spread fear among the people. BI opposed UNM by using the same method, such as video recordings and word, and won elections with the help of it. The current government was supposed to stop secret recordings, but that has not happened. And the current government is going after Geocell, the phone company, because Geocell seems to be the one that's giving the most pushback, unlike the other mobile phone companies. The meme this week, Georgian singer shot a video in which they express solidarity with the Ukrainian people and sing, "We are Ukrainians." Some stuff to read. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus is T.I. Georgia's blog about the illegal government surveillance. In order to get a better sense of how people perceive wiretapping, T.I. Georgia included several relevant questions into a CRC opinion poll. Between the 3rd and the 26th of October 2013, nearly 2,000 adults were interviewed in face-to-face interviews across the country. 63% of respondents said that they would not share a secret over the phone, and 69% would not voice a critical opinion about the political events in a phone conversation. A great article by Paul Rimpel in Eurasianet.org about Sakhtarysi. In 2004, archaeologists from the National Museum of Georgia and the German Mining Museum unearthed caves and mining tools at Sakhtarysi that are believed to date to the 3rd millennium BC, a find that predates Egyptian mining artifacts and makes it the oldest mine in the world. The archaeological significance of Sakhtarysi, however, means little to the Russian-owned mining company RMG Gold, which holds the lease to excavate the site. For RMG, Sakhtarysi's chief value is the estimated 20 tons of gold that lie under the earth's surface there. The company, owned by Russian billionaire businessman Dmitry Trioski and Dmitry Kozhurev, has petitioned Prime Minister Irakli Garabashvili's office seeking to revoke Sakhtarysi's status as an archaeological site, a designation that prevents its exploitation of gold. The president of the German Association of Archaeology, Dr. Hermann Perziger, alleged the 2013 Culture Ministry decision violated Georgia's ratification of the Council of Europe's Valletta Convention on the Protection of Cultural Heritage. The Ministry of Culture rejects the claim. That article really clarifies that situation, which led to the resignation of Marina, Deputy Minister of Culture, and it's worth reading. Misha's article in The Guardian, he writes about the illegal referendum in Crimea and gives parallels and lessons from Georgia in 2008. Both Ukraine and Georgia aspire to join NATO, but the door was closed at the Bucharest summit of 2008. From Putin's point of view, this untied his hands to deal with the two neighbors that had tried to free themselves from Russia's grip. There are many parallels with how the conflict started. For months prior to August 2008, unidentified troops grabbed more and more control over Georgia's separatist regions, and were getting into a growing number of shooting matches with local law enforcement groups. It was easier to start a hot war in Georgia, as there was already a history of violent Russian-supported separatism, unlike in Ukraine. My own experience is that it wasn't months, but that every summer there would be skirmishes of young Ossetian and Georgian men, some with guns, But starting in July 2008, for the first time, there were much more serious military actions, and it was unlike anyone had ever seen in South Ossetia before. And what everybody was saying, and I believe to be true, was that the Russians were sending off out-of-uniform Spetsnaz into Ossetian villages in order to direct that. In an article on agenda.ge about the audit controversy of TV, and by the way, Temur Yakovashvili at the time was the Minister of Reintegration and was supposed to meet with Popov, who was the head Russian peacekeeper, who didn't show up for the meeting. So all of these things were happening. The Georgians were trying to talk about it, and the Russians refused to talk about it. And nobody seemed to be too, in Western Europe, or attending the Olympics in Beijing, seemed to be too bothered about it. An article on agenda.ge about the audit controversy of a TV market measuring company, TVMRGE, is the only organization in Georgia that measures television audiences. The head of the company said the revenue service fined the company 400 lari for not providing it with the address of all households that have agreements with the company over the installation of devices to measure audience participation. The company claims this kind of information is confidential. TI Georgia wrote a great post about this, so check it out. Media Development Foundation and Georgian Democracy Initiative released a second issue of the newsletter No to Phobia. From the 24th of February to the 2nd of March, they noted the following tendencies in the news. Respondent journalists and viewer anti-Western attitudes related to the events in Ukraine. In the context of events in Ukraine, several media outlets made unjustified references to ethnic, religious, and sexual identity of the former president of Georgia and the present leader of Ukraine. When talking about state funding assigned for four religious congregations besides the Georgian Orthodox Church, Objectivi anchors negatively referred to these groups as sects and Satanists. The idea that the Georgian people would not let the 17th of May LGBT rally happen mainly were expressed by the representatives of the clergy. Both respondents and media representatives used homophobic expressions and offensive language against LGBTs. ID cards, fulfilled prophecy of Father Gabriel, and unfounded claims that the EU member countries place microchips under the skin of newborn babies were common. You can subscribe to their newsletter by emailing mdfgeo@gmail.com. A post by Dustin Galbraith about how Georgians view the state today as a parent or as an employee. This blog shows that Georgians are more or less divided when it comes to whether the government should be like a parent or an employee. In looking at Georgians who think that the government should be more like a parent, it appears that they are also more likely to support membership for Georgia in the Eurasian economic community. Moreover, parent-like government supporters put less emphasis on the importance of being critical of the government as the quality of a good citizen. A blog post by Paul Goebel about Russia's surreal geography. According to him, many Western leaders seem to believe, or at least hope, that sanctions will lead Russia back down on Crimea. But Russia's invasion of Georgia in August 2008 proved that it is extremely inefficient and dangerous to use half sanctions against the Russians. They will only become more but determined to push ahead. A sanction regime can only work if it is timely, strong, efficient, and coordinated. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 139, which is the ranking of Georgia in the 2013 Global Peace Index. The world has become a less peaceful place, according to the Institute for Economics and Peace. In their annual report, Global Peace Index ranks 162 countries by measuring security in society, the extent of conflict, and the degree of militarization. Their findings show that Iceland is the most peaceful country, Somalia the least. Armenia and Azerbaijan took 98th and 126th positions, respectively. Russia was 155th. This week's English language movies at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament are on Saturday, the 22nd of March, Endless Love at 10:15. On Wednesday, the 26th of March, 300, Rise of an Empire at 7:45 p.m. The next Works in Progress will be on the 26th of March at 6:15. Gheorghe Chedlishvili from the University of Georgia will present Adoration No More, Perceptions of the West in the South Caucasus. The address is 3 Kostava Street, now in Vake. Everyone go see Chedlishvili. He's smart, and that should be interesting. On the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of March, the company New Light will host an exhibition Made in Georgia. The government will feature furniture, lamps, and accessories made by 5 Georgian designers. That's at David Agma Shinabeli Alley, number 12, KM, working hours from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. On the 24th of March at 6:30, the Georgian Embassy in London is inviting you to Meg Clothier's discussion of her historical novel based on Queen Tamar. RSVP to info@BritishGeorgianSociety.org. For more information, visit the event section at www.BritishGeorgianSociety.org. Or, if you are living in the UK and not a member, join now. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Our email address is tblpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website at www.tblpod.com. We'll finish with Jimmy Bowen's 1957 hit, My Baby's Gone.
Well, now my baby's gone away. She never comes around. Well, she's left me. Well, she's left me. She's gone. Well, she bid me goodbye. Well, she's moving on. Well, she left town on Sunday with a man named Clay. Well, if I know my baby, all she wanna do is play. Well, she's leaving. Well, she'll leave him one day. Get all his money, but we'll leave him one day. Well, the last time I saw her, she had a drink in her hand. A mink around her shoulders and her arm around a man.
Well, pearls and a diamond necklace, and like gold and golden sand.
But the ruby, ruby lips,
they were kissing another man.
Well, they tell me that my baby lives in another town. They tell me that she's married and that she's settled down.
Well, I'm happy.